Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This week, this is episode two, and we're going to talk about compass code and strategy. So in this episode, we're going to talk about wayfinding, which is what we do.
What is wayfinding?
Wayfinding is understanding where you are.
Correct.
Choosing the place you want to be and finding the path to get there.
Or finding the way to get there.
Finding the way to get there. That's, I suppose, important. We used the uppercase W, didn't we? Mm. So in the process of wayfinding, we need both of those pieces. We need to take a really in-depth look at where we are in order to route that destination. And we need to really think about where we want to be. So you could start with either of those pieces. We prefer to start with choosing where you want to be because for a lot of reasons, that's the easier task to undertake. It can be really tough to look at some of the things that you need to improve, especially if you haven't spent the time kind of building up your thoughts and your dreams about where you want your company to go and where you want it to be.
So where do we want to be?
Where do we want to be? That's what we're going to figure out. So we are right now on Orcas Island in a beautiful cabin. Our kids are away at camp and we are on vacation. So of course we're making a podcast because that's what we do.
I thought we were supposed to be vacationing.
Mm-hmm. Well, vacation is a good time to talk about the bigger picture things in work. It's easy to get bogged down in the nuts and bolts every day. So this is a good time for us to start thinking about the bigger picture and thinking about where we want to be and where we are. And I think that's an important lesson. You absolutely should not let work take over your vacation. You need time and space away from work. But I think sometimes that place where you're relaxed and you have a little bit of time to think about things and not just be in the daily grind of your business, that can be a really good time to let some of those ideas have some time to kind of come to the forefront.
So many of our clients, including ourselves, struggle with the issue that oftentimes you're working in your business and you can't come up for air. So you'll be grinding through the years working in your business, and you never stop to come up for air to start working on the business. It's okay to do this for a short period of time, but you need to schedule standard intervals to make sure that you come up for air regularly, to make sure that you're putting the appropriate amount of time in building the business and working on the business instead of working in the business. Because if you, as the business leader or business owner, are not working on the business, who is?
And in fact, something in the interest of sharing some of our process with you listeners of the podcast, one of the things that we've kind of come to the realization of this week is our business development has been halted a bit and on hold a bit because I have been telling Jason that we need to have meetings and we need to talk about our business development, and Jason needs meetings to have a very task-based agenda. He needs to know what the action items are of the meeting. And I think sometimes business development cannot be so task-oriented, so action items. Sometimes you need a little bit of space to just kind of think through things and let new ideas come out of that conversation.
There's a little bit of exploration that has to happen. And sometimes that can bristle against the idea of being task-based.
And I think a lot of married couples who have businesses together find that we sit on opposing ends of the spectrum in a lot of different ways. We have, I handle one part, you handle the other. And I think that that's good and that's important and that's part of what makes us successful as married business owners. But I think that it's important to have ways to communicate to each other the pieces that aren't always clear. So, you know, what I told Jason is maybe instead of when I say, let's have a meeting, and he says, the meeting needs to have an agenda, I say, this is just a sounding board meeting. This is just a meeting where we're going to just we're going to go, we're going to get a drink, and we're just going to kind of talk and see where that takes us, which is not Jason's natural state of being.
It's not my style.
But I think it's important to do, just like if I were to say to Jason, when we meet during the week, we're never going to have a task-based meeting with an agenda or have any direction for that meeting. It would drive him crazy. He would lose his mind. We need both kinds of meetings. So this process is definitely a little bit of that open space kind of process of thinking through, where do you want to be? And I think you need to be in the right state of mind to be able to do it. You need to be a little bit rested. You need to have a little bit of resource to allocate to that. I think most people have heard of mission, vision, values. Mission, vision, values is the standard way of deciding where we want our business to be and go. That is the standard way of deciding our destination.
So oftentimes mission, vision, values will be an internal and external component of marketing. It will address some light strategy pieces, and it tries to help identify a little bit of the personality of the business.
So mission, vision, values is something that we have helped clients with since we opened our doors in 2014.
And actually, I've worked with a number of businesses before that, before starting Arcade Consulting and currently Arcade Wayfinding, to help establish the mission, vision, values of businesses that I've worked within.
So it's something that is comfortable ground for us. But from the very beginning, when we started to help people develop their mission, vision, values, there was something about it that didn't quite sit right with me. And we would have the conversation. Jason would say, well, don't you think it's important that companies know what they want to be and where they want to go? And I said, of course it is. He said, well, this is how you do that. And I said, I just think there's probably a better way. And Jason's answer to that was what it always is. He said, okay, show me. How do you do it better? Mm-hmm. And at the time I said, well, I don't know, working on it. And so over the years, as we have helped companies with this, I have picked up bits and pieces and worked on what it is that I don't think mission, vision, values addresses. And we've built our own wayfinding tool called Compass Code and Strategy. And we're going to talk a little later in the episode about what Compass Code and Strategy is. But for those of you who, like even me, are a little hazy on specifically what mission, vision, values addresses, I'm going to have Jason walk us through exactly what mission, vision, values is and how it's built. Kind of a brief run through to refresh our memory on what that is.
Short history, a short review.
Indeed.
So mission, vision, values for many people is kind of the gold standard, but some folks are a little hazy, even if they've developed mission, vision, value statements. Sometimes they can be a little confused on exactly which word relates to which component, or how they're applied to the business, how are they brought to life. So we're just going to talk a little bit about what mission, vision, values are as a quick review, quick primer for folks who need that refresher. So a mission statement is basically the what do you do statement. It is essentially why the business exists. So if you asked a question about why does Google exist, they would have a Google number of different answers if you just asked all of the employees individually.
From the writing world, we talk about having an elevator pitch. You might have heard that before. And the idea is, if you were in an elevator with someone who had the power to get you published, whether you're a screenwriter, whether you write books, you have 7 to 12 words to get across what is so amazing about your written work. Can you do it? And so I think of a mission statement as being like your company's elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. What do you do in 7 to 12 words?
Mm-hmm. So the questions are, what do you do? How do you do it? Who are your customers, and what value do you give to your customers in that case? So that is the mission statement of, it's your reason to be. It is your...
What, raison d'etre?
Raison d'etre, right? So for Google, an example of that, and I believe this has been updated since, is to organize the world's information and make it universally useful. To organize the world's information and make it universally useful. The idea there, I mean, that when you hear that mission statement, it says Google, that they're harnessing a huge amount of data, huge amount of information, and data all by itself without access to it is really just kind of dead and lifeless and not useful. So the universally useful component is vitally important for Google. So identifying what a mission statement is critical to the development. And we need to make sure we're identifying what value we bring to our customers, because it will answer a question of why are we here? What is this business built for? And so many times I will share my vision or my view with our customers that every business has its own personality. Every business has its own spirit, and mission, vision, values should identify and communicate what that business is for, what it wants to do, and where it wants to go. So vision statement leads into what does the business want to be in 10 years? What does the business want to be when it grows up?
So it's that future component of where are you going?
Mm-hmm. So the idea with vision is that it wants to be brief, it wants to be short and memorable. This is very much a marketing statement that it communicates to the world where you want to go and communicates what you will be when you grow up.
And in fact, I think that kind of gets to the heart of one of my issues all along with mission, vision, values is I feel like it's a little too much marketing statement. I think there's an important marketing piece that comes out of that, but I think that your wayfinding tool should be more useful to you on more levels than just a marketing level.
On a practical level.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So a vision statement will speak to the outside world. It can speak to the inside of the business, but largely speaks to the outside world. And it should challenge the business to be its best. Should challenge the business to strive and work just a little bit more. So a couple of here, I'll give you a quiz, Mary.
What you got?
Vision statement. Who is this? A computer on every desk and in every home.
I happen to know that that one, I think, used to be Microsoft. I think they actually have a new one since, but that was Microsoft.
Absolutely. So other examples of vision statements, one would be affordable solutions for better living, right?
Is that like GE?
IKEA.
IKEA. Okay. Okay.
Affordable is the key,
yeah.
Right? Affordable.
One, better living.
Yeah. Better living. So they deliver products, and their vision is that they want to give reasonably priced products to improve everyone's quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's key to access. So vision statement is essentially what do they want to be? It's not just why are they here, but it's what end are they working toward? Okay. So that's vision statement.
So you can see, I think, as we go through why these are important things to understand about yourself as a business, but in my opinion, these are kind of boring ways to come to that.
Boring, boring.
Boring.
Right. And then finally, in mission, vision, values, are the value statements. So they're values. They're oftentimes one word or two words, a series of 4 to 6 words that are grouped together that paint a picture of the morals that the business will operate on. So oftentimes, so these will act as guiding principles for the business, and it is the how of the business at every level. When we're providing this training session for mission, vision, values, or let's say prior to developing Compass Code and strategy, I would pose the question to the group that we're working with. I would say, if the business is an animal all its own, if it is its own person and has its own personality, and you leave the business for 10 years and come back to it 10 years later, what values will you leave it with to ensure that it is where you wanted it to be when you get back?
My problem with the values piece is that it's, for one, it's hazy. I think you would almost never be able to walk into a company and say to an employee, what are this company's values? And they could just rattle those off. They're unwieldy. And what I've done in the past to try to get my hands around that is I'll often do an acronym where you have a word that is like trust, and then it's a T word, an R word, a U word.
So I have an example for that. So there's an organization called Bright Horizons Family Solutions. Their values are honesty, pay attention, honesty, excellence, accountability, respect, and teamwork.
So the acronym is HEART.
HEART.
So then, yeah, you can have your employees remember that HEART, and then quoting off the values is really a matter of sitting there and going, H, I know there was an H word, mm-hmm. right? Honor, right? Honesty. That's it. Honesty. That's the one. I think that's kind of against the nature of what we're trying to do when we define these things. I think, too, another problem I have with values is that generally you get from every company a list that, let's be honest, looks like every other company's list. So before you read that, what I was going to say is you have a list, and that list is honesty, mm-hmm. integrity, yeah. value.
Integrity. How could it not have integrity?
Trust.
We need to get that in there.
Loyalty. Yeah. You know, these are the things that we all want as businesses, and it's good that we all want those things, but your values should be unique. Mm-hmm. When you hear that vision statement from Microsoft, you can say, right, that's Microsoft. Right, that's IKEA. That makes sense. I feel like when you hear a company's values, you generally just hear a list of words that would apply to what pretty much any company would tell you that they want to offer.
How about this one? I'll give you the quiz then.
All right, let's go.
Okay, here we go. So mm-hmm. the acronym is PREMIE.
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 Okay.
P-R-E-M-I-E. PREMIE.
I don't know if that's an intentional acronym.
I don't think so. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. So here are, I could probably shuffle those around and make something.
I suppose you spell preemie that way, like when a baby is born
early.
Is
that preemie?
Preemie?
P-R-E-M-I-E?
Yeah, because it's pre, like.
Okay, well, that's kind of weird for this company. Okay.
Okay.
So value uh-huh. statements. Passion.
Mm-hmm.
Risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to be motivated?
Yeah, who's going to say, that's not one of our values. We right. don't like or have motivated employees. That's
right.
not what happens here.
Innovation
uh-huh.
and empowerment.
Uh-huh.
Who is that?
That is any company ever of all time.
Well, I hear that, but this one is Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, you know what? They missed a really...
It could have been Boeing.
They missed a really clear opportunity there.
Because
if it's PREMIE,
mm-hmm.
then why wouldn't you have like reliability at the end and be premier?
Ooh, I like that. Well, the reason why is because they hit their 6 limit max.
They maxed it out.
That's right.
Got it.
So that is values. That's what values are. And essentially they will communicate how a company should behave at every level. But oftentimes the values can be a little repetitive, a little redundant across from business to business, and sometimes certain businesses are left sounding like every other.
Yes. So you can see a little as we kind of walked through this of what Jason had to put up with for a few years while we built these together.
Show me.
And it was tough for me to build some of these marketing pieces for these companies, knowing that there was a better way to do it. But for a while, I just didn't have access to that. It took me some time to build it. But what I wound up building was, what we wound up building
is
compass, code, and strategy. So that's mission, vision, values, and that's why I don't love it. Mm-hmm. And next week, we are going to talk through compass, code, and strategy. And talk about why that's a better way to measure these things, what it is, how you do it. And after that, we'll walk through our own compass, code, and strategy.
We haven't built one yet?
We've been holding off on building it until we could do it on the podcast, because I thought it would be such a neat experience to do that with the mics live and to walk through our process. You'll get to hear how we work together mm-hmm. as we build our own compass, code, and strategy, because our business has changed so much over the last couple of months. It's time to revisit that, even though that's something that we had a good picture of who we are and where we're going. But as we add people and we change our location and we change what we're doing and we get new clients and all of our products change, it makes sense to revisit that over and over again every time that you realize that that has changed significantly.
Are these components still relevant to what we're doing? It's a continual renewal process, a process of continual growth that we as business owners and operators should be evaluating on a regular basis. We need to come up for air to start working on the business to make sure that the business is going and growing the way we want it to.
If this weren't a podcast, you would be able to see me giving Jason a very meaningful look right now, reminding him to take his own advice.
Look.
That's this week's episode of The Critical Path with Mary and Jason. You can check out our website at www.arcadewayfinding.com. You can check out the podcast website at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com. I know it's a long link.
Mm-hmm. We also have our new training calendar up. We have a number of training events that are scheduled over the next couple of months that you can sign up for right on our website.
You absolutely can.
Be sure to check those out. They're a lot of fun, and we provide training in unconventional ways.
And we have some cool new stuff that will be coming up, adding to our training schedule. We're going to be setting up a Mary's Tech Talk event, and I think probably for the first event, you can't hold me to this yet, it's still in development, but I think we're going to be talking about ransomware and how you can protect your business. And Mary's Tech Talk will be a free event where you can come by and learn a little bit about some tech aspect of running your business and get to meet some other business owners, hopefully, and come and check out our space and get to know us.
Great.
So you can find The Critical Path with Mary and Jason on iTunes. Just got the notification that we're there, or anywhere else that podcasts are found, as time goes by. Working on it. We're still adding other engines, but right now having the iTunes engine means that you can find us in a lot of podcast places.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, see you next week.
Stay tuned for outtakes. Cutting this part out.
Cut.
Mike,
cut. 1, 2, check. Mike. Okay.
All right, ready?
Mike.
Mike. Are you quite finished?
Mike.
Are you quite finished?
Let's go.
Let's go.